Tony, go ahead and show the first two pictures. Anybody know what that is? That's a Hank Aaron 1954 rookie card. Right now it's worth $32,000. But in 1974, it was worth $150. Okay, show the next one. Anybody know what that one is? Honus Wagner. In fact, this is the most expensive baseball card you can have. It just sold in 2016 for $3.8 million. There are only 65 of these available. And in 1972, it was worth $300,000. So a $300,000 card, and then Hank Aaron was worth, what was it, $150? I think $150. I had them both. I had them both. And I remember going to my dad saying, "We're rich." You know, I started collecting baseball cards, and I even had a Mickey Mantle, and he even put it on my tire, you know, and wore that thing out. But I had both of these cards. And I said, "Dad, we're rich, and I'm going to get all of the things that you wouldn't get from me. I'm going to get that Honda 70 trail bike. I'm going to get a go-kart. I'm going to get all these things." And my dad's just kind of shaking his head, and he says, "Son, I hate to break this to you, Paul, but those are replicas. If you look at your Hank Aaron card on the back, it says Oscar Mayer. Oscar Mayer did a special set of these cards, of these, you know, like a reprint of these rookie cards. And if you look at the Honus Wagner card, that's like brand new, great edges. It's even bigger than the original one that came in the tobacco pack." So I learned a couple lessons as a 12-year-old in 1972. After losing $300,000, I learned that not everything that you see is real. That some of the things that we see or some of the things that we perceive are actually counterfeit or replica. As we continue to study Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we're in Matthew chapter 6 today, we're going to see that there are some things that Jesus says, this isn't real, this is just a show, this is just replica. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 1. Jesus is showing us what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus and to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. This is what he says in verse 1. "Beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Okay, let's look at this again. The first thing he says, Jesus is saying, beware. Be on guard. Beware is the word prosecete. Prosecete. And it means to pay attention, be cautious, to beware. In the King James, it says to take heed. In other words, mark this down. If you practice your righteousness, you try to be better than anybody else in order to be seen by people, then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven, because that is your reward. In other words, the Pharisees who would put on a show, and they would say, "Look at what I do. Look how much I give. Look how much I pray. Look how much I take care of things." They put on a show. He's saying, you will not have a reward in heaven. You got your reward here. People are looking at you going, "Woo, look at that. That's your reward." He's saying, don't practice your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. In other words, we need to practice just to him. Jesus is saying, if we look at this, what is authentic, what is counterfeit, and he's saying it is a matter of your heart. Has your heart changed to follow Christ, or is your heart still like, "Well, hey, I want people to notice what I've done. I want people to see how much I give. I want to see people. I want people to see how much I pray and how well I pray." Three times Jesus tells us in these 17 verses that I'm going to be talking about today. The 17 verses that I'm talking about today. He says, "When you do this, when you do this, don't be like the hypocrites." When you do this, don't be like the hypocrites. And the word Hippocrate means an actor or to be fake is the term for that. So this is what he says. And the first thing he attacks is giving. This is what he says starting in verse 2. "Thus, When you give, not if you give. See that? Underline when in your Bibles. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet. And that is sulpicis, and that means a trumpet blast. In other words, don't make a show of it. I saw a movie recently where people were coming in to the church, and the way the church had it, they had the offering thing, and the priest kind of stood there with the incense, you know, going like this, and when people came in, they would drop in their money, and the more clanging it made, the more people would, oh, you know, what a great giver they are. So don't sound any trumpet blasts. This is what he says. Don't do that as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you that they have received your reward. In other words, if you're doing this as a show, I want everybody to know that I gave $10,000 to the building fund. Okay? In fact, I want you to name that table after me. Put a little plaque on that. If you sound it, guess what? That is your reward. Hey, guess what? You got a table. How about coming and dusting your table every once in a while? But you get a table. You don't get a reward in heaven. God just marks that off. That's what you got. That's what he says. Don't make a show of it. Listen to this. That they would be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give, what does Jesus say? But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will what? He'll reward you. In other words, Jesus is saying we should give in such a way that our right hand doesn't even know what our left hand's doing. Our left hand doesn't know what our right hand's doing. And the only way you can be in a position to do that is, what is God telling you? And act on that. If God is telling you to give to the Salvation Army, then give to the Salvation Army, but don't announce it like the Pharisees do. Look what I've done. Oh, I can't help here because I give to the American Cancer Society and to the Salvation Army. And every once in a while, I even give to the local, you know, whatever. Thank you. There's your reward. But do it in such a way that it's between you and God. And then God will reward you. The second thing that Jesus attacks is prayer. See, the test of faith, let's talk about this for a moment. The test of faith is what we do when only God can see. If our giving, if our prayer, if our fasting, if it's a show for other people to see, then it's not between us and God. It's like what other people see in us, and they see our suffering, you know, while we fast. Or they see our, you know, our pride and arrogance when we give. Or they hear our stateliness when we do our prayers and our fancy prayers. We need, the test of real faith is when it's just between us and God. When only God can see what we do, that is really real faith. So putting on a show, if we go back to what we talked about in Matthew chapter 5, go back chapter 5, verse 16, this is what he says. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Well, wait a minute, now you're saying don't show. Here's what Jesus says, though. And give glory to the Father who is in heaven. In other words, when we give, when we fast, when we pray, when we do these things, it's to bring glory to who? God, our Father, not to us. It's to bring glory to Almighty God who deserves all glory and praise. So he goes next into prayer. He says this in Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, and when you pray, not if you pray, or if you think about praying, but when you pray, you must not be like who? The hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. In other words, don't make a show of it. A lot of times when we go to pray, if someone says, for example, Barbara, would you stand and give us a prayer today? And Barbara, you know, everybody knows Barbara. But if Barbara stood up and said, Almighty Heavenly Father of the great unknown, and we would go like, what? Who is that? What is going on, right? But there are people, when they begin to pray, it begins to be a show. Like, I've got to know the right words. I've got to throw in a couple theological terms. If I throw in really a Greek word here or a Hebrew word here, I get extra points with God. Don't make a show of it. Our prayers are an intimate conversation with our Heavenly Father. He's our Father. And so when we pray, who are we bringing the glory to? If I were to stand and pray, am I trying to bring glory to me, or am I trying to bring glory and place prayers at the very feet of God Himself? It's not about me. I'm just the conduit, and the prayers are for God, not for me, for people. Oh, man, you're a great prayer. That's your reward. He says this, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you. We watched a movie, I can't even remember what the name of the movie is, War Room? I think it was War Room, right? We need to call it, War Closet or Power Closet or whatever. There needs to be a place where it's just you and God, and you're on your knees and you're praying to Him, and it's all about Him. It's all about power. And let me tell you something else about prayer. You don't have to do all the talking. You don't have to do all the talking. In fact, I think we'd be better off if we just stayed still and quiet and we listened for God. And God will tell us what to do. God will give us direction. But if we're always trying to hog the conversation, you ever deal with people like that? You try to talk to them and they're always interrupting, and they're always they finish your sentences, and you think, and you never get to say anything. And then when you go out from there, you thought, what did we accomplish? I just heard someone just talk the whole time. Anybody? No? Quit pointing at me. He says this, and when you pray, listen to this, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. In other words, don't keep rambling on and on about nothing. Pray what's in your heart. Pray to God. The word is batalogio. It means to blubber, nonsensical repetitions. It means to chatter. It means to be long-winded. It means to use vain, empty words. Just to hear yourself talk, to hear yourself pray, and that is your reward. Don't make a show of it. And some of you are thinking, well, I can't pray out loud anyway. I mean, I can't pray like Steve. I can't pray like David. I can't pray like these people. You know, so don't ask me to pray. You're talking to your Father. Anybody can pray. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? Forget about everybody else. It's between you and your Father. You go where only God can hear you, and you pray with confidence, because who is the prayer for? It's for Him. I'm not praying to try to impress anybody. I'm not praying to try to get people to say what a great prayer you are. I am conversing with God and laying my needs in front of Him. So how does that start, our giving and our prayers, before we kind of move on a little bit? Well, for giving, maybe it means start small. Search your heart for what God is saying to you. And because when you give to the church, you know, we talk about our building program, we talk about the missions, we talk about all these things. Do you realize you are investing in God's kingdom here in this world? You are investing and providing for other people. You're investing in people that maybe need food from the food pantry, that young women who are facing an unwanted pregnancy and they don't know what to deal with them, and we're sending them to the Jonesboro Pregnancy Center so that they can counsel these women and be with these women and walk with these women all the way through those stages. You are investing in God's love when you give to the local church. And when you say, I can't pray, start small. Start with just a minute prayer. You know, we used to sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now it's like, Sweet 2 minutes of prayer, Sweet 2 minutes of prayer. Any more than that, I'll be somewhere. You know, we don't know, right? Start small. Start with a minute. Add another minute to it. Pray for 5 minutes. Go in for 10 minutes one day and pray for five and shut up for five and let God speak to you. And don't start, while I'm waiting for God, I'm going to go ahead and check my email. Turn it off. I wish God would speak to us through our smartphones. You know, this is God. I'm going to take your battery away, you know, or something. Don't make a show of it. Jesus shows us the model, and we did a whole series on this, so I don't want to spend a lot of time, but starting in verse 9, Jesus says this, then pray like this, our Father in heaven. In other words, God is intimate. He's our Father. He's relational. He's not just someone out there. He is God Almighty. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. He is all those things. He is our creator, our great physician, but he's also our Father. He's intimate. The second thing, he says this, hallowed be thy name. That's the proper posture of our prayer. In other words, holy is your name. You are holy. I am not. And so we pray to our Father who is holy. And he says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we pray that evil will be destroyed here and that God's kingdom will be established here, that this will be a place of love and respect and holiness and righteousness instead of self-centeredness and bitterness and anger and violence. Give us this day our daily bread. It's our constant dependence on God to provide for our need, not on our own strength, but on His strength. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We admit our sin and we forgive others so that God forgives us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray to keep from being tempted. Protect us, God, but protect us from ourselves. Father, protect me from me because of my fleshly desires that want to go and do things that I know are wrong. And then Jesus really throws this in there. But if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In other words, you know, forgive those who have wronged you, sinned against you. But listen to this. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ouch. I mean, there's some people that need to apologize to me. I'm not going to forgive them. Well, guess what? Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't care how you try to interpret that. Jesus made it clear. If we are to be His people and to live and be followers of Jesus, then we have to act like Jesus. See, the Father knows us and He loves us and He wants us to be in close relationship with Him. And so start with a simple prayer like that. Then Jesus goes into a third section, fasting. This is what he says, and when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. I think this is a neglected part of our spiritual discipline that we need to go back and reclaim. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the who? Hypocrites, the actors, the fakes. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may be seen by others, not seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, fasting is a discipline of denying ourselves food. And when we do that, we recognize our dependence on God. Jesus is saying that when we fast, our attention should be focused on God and not our appearance. Here's what happened with the ancient Hebrews. They would fast once a year, usually on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And so they would fast that whole time, and that's when they would fast. Now the Pharisees would fast two times a week. And what they would do when they would come out, they would put on rags. They would take ashes and cover their face in ashes. They would mess their hair up. You kind of get a picture of that? Kind of looks like your teenagers now, you know, just kind of, all right? And then they wouldn't bathe or anything, and they would just walk around like this. So you would look and say, oh, he's fasting. He's fasting. And Jesus says, don't do that. Take a bath. Take a shower. Put on some deodorant. Comb your hair. Don't look like you're fasting. Go about your life like you're supposed to. Look good, take care of yourself, and God, who sees what you're doing in secret, will reward you. Now, there are times we have called for a fast in the church. When we were getting ready to move into the building, we said, we need to be fasting and praying. Is this the move God wants for us? And so when we call for a church-wide fast, sure, everybody knows we're fasting. We're not doing that to say, hey, you know, watch Paul and Sandra fast. You know? We're calling that because we need everybody depending on God, listening to God. Fasting does a couple things. Number one, it's good for your body. It cleanses your body. It resets your body. And there's a reason why that fasting is important. But it also, when we deny ourselves these material things that we think we have to have, we find out our dependence is on God only. So we need to start giving. We need to start praying. We need to start fasting. And that's how you're going to hear from God. This whole series, guys, is about changing our lives. This whole series, guys, is about becoming countercultural. Not to be like the world, but to be different, to be holy, to be righteous. If we don't look any different than the other people out there, why have church? And we're not to look different so we can say, look at me. I'm better than you. Look at me. I pray louder. Look at me. I give more. Look at me. I'm fasting. You know, we don't do it for that, to lord it over them. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're living in the world. They're part of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world anymore. We're changed. We're different. And if you are not convicted by any of those things, then maybe you need to reset something in your heart. That's what Jesus is talking about, changing our heart, being different. So what are you going to do today? As we get ready to take communion, and I invite you to come up here and we spend some time at the table, I want to invite you to go ahead and reset your life. Maybe for the first time you're thinking like, you know, maybe a long time ago I said a little prayer and I walked down the aisle and I raised my hand and someone prayed for me and I accepted Jesus, but then nothing in your life changed. Maybe today God is saying, you know what, change. And so maybe for the first time when you come down, you spend some time at the altar and say, you know what, I want Jesus to be real in my life. Maybe some of you, Jesus is real in your life, but you've kind of got away from that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You kind of fall into our fleshly desires. And it's like, yeah, I started strong, but then, you know, I kind of hit a road bump. And when I hit that road bump, I kind of found out this other trail over here. And this trail's pretty nice. That trail leads to death. So maybe today God is saying, you know what? Reset. Change your heart. In Jeremiah and in Ezekiel, he says, I will write my law upon your heart. And he says, I will give you a new heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, so that my word could be alive in you. So what are you going to do with that today? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, I pray, Father, that you would open our ears to hear your word, Father, that you would open our heart, make it soft. Make it fertile soil so that you can plant the seeds of your word in our life. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.